on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome back, everybody, to another week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And over there running the show is Andrew behind the glass. We do this show here every week. You can go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about the show. Again, that's chatterboxgameshow.com. We even have a MySpace at myspace.com/chatterboxgameshow.
Yes, come be our virtual friend.
Yeah, for the record there, to be exact, it's myspace.com/. But I'm feeling the need to move the world forward and not say .com all the time. Are you with me, Ara? I can say MySpace/ChatterboxGameShow, and people just know.
What about the whoa, whoa, whoa? No more whoa, whoa, whoa.
No, huh? None of that BS.
What if you're using dub? What if you're using, like, Gopher?
I don't know what that is.
Ah-ha!
Is that a search?
A different.
Or an OS?
Different browser protocol.
Oh, yeah, I apologize.
Very old school.
All right, so we have a lot of stuff going on today. Ara has this paperwork strewn about, like, a news anchor in front of him. So we're going to talk about all these things. I don't even know what they are.
I try to keep up a professional appearance.
Yeah. And I appreciate that because I certainly don't. You're yang to my yin, whatever.
That sounds a little disgusting.
Okay. Moving on. Some of you may not realize this, but today the game Command & Conquer 3 has shipped to stores, should be available tomorrow everywhere. So we are going to have my dear friend, David Silverman, who's the product manager for that game, on the show tonight talking about Command & Conquer 3 and hopefully what makes it so phantasmagoric that you're all going to want to go and buy it. I know that my roommate, for instance, is a super big real-time strategy fan, and he even got that Supreme Commander game, and then, like, his computer had to go blow up, so he couldn't really play much of it, but then I got a new computer, so it's okay.
I'm kind of surprised. This is John, right? I wouldn't take him for an RTS fan.
No, it's weird. He plays RTS and first-person shooters. And that's it. Like, he won't play Geometry Wars. I tell him you got to play Geometry Wars. In fact, I tell it, like, he complains when he plays Gears of War with his brother and his friends online that...
How cheap it is?
No, like, he doesn't have the same reaction speeds. Like, he says they're better than him, and he just can't get as good as them. I'm like,
right.
John, what you need to train. Because he does all sorts of other, like, real person things, like athletic stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, just like you got to train in real life for those, you got to train your mind and your body for video games. And I think Geometry Wars is a great Twitch trainer.
I see a discussion topic brewing here.
Ah, it might be for later in the show. It's something I've brought up in the past, too, but there's all sorts of games. I'm like, you got to play... You know, this game and this game and this game, and they'll build you up to being a good Twitch player. But, you know, people need to do that when they're like 5, and he's not 5 anymore. So I don't know how much he could build into his brain at this point, but hopefully some.
This is true.
All right, so we're going to talk about Command & Conquer 3 a little bit. Just some marketing stuff. Like, we got to be good to our friends, and Dave's always been good to us, and I certainly don't know much about Command & Conquer 3, at least not like someone who's actually played the series from the very beginning. Like, I have it.
Neither do I.
I have Command & Conquer on the PlayStation.
Right.
The original PlayStation.
That's really old school for the console stuff. Because
not a lot of people have the mouse for the original PlayStation, but in fact, I'm not even sure if I have the mouse, but I have the game. It's hard to find game. So we're going to talk about that. Also want to talk about Flow a little bit. In fact, I can talk about that now. But before we do, you and I are going to be in Tempe this weekend. Why are we going to be in Tempe, Ara?
We're going to be drinking ourselves silly on Mill Street all night long.
I don't know about that. We're going to be at the Tempe Music Festival.
Oh, well, yeah, there's
those that. Local to the Phoenix area, might be aware of the Tempe Music Festival. So we have been invited to sort of take part at a booth. People who have nothing to do with video games, right? Just the Dillard's, you know, they have a big department store. That's what they are. But we're going to actually be at the Dillard's tent. Helping them put on the Guitar Hero 2. They're just going to have Guitar Hero 2 for people to play.
Cool.
I have a friend involved in that. She said, hey, do you want to do this? I said, that would be awesome. So we're going to be there taking part in their little Guitar Hero 2 event. Maybe we'll have like a spur of the moment, not so spur of the moment because we're planning it 5 days in advance, tournament, because they're going to have prizes and things to give away because they're...
I think that would be fantastic.
I guess like Levi's, jeans, and various people that, you know, have items that are for sale in Dillard's. are sponsoring their particular tent.
I just hope they don't have lame-o LCD screens, which they probably will.
No, she said it's going to be a big TV. So, whatever. I just hope they have good enough sound. But so we're going to be doing Guitar Hero 2. If you're in the area and you want to hang out with us, or you just want to hang out with a lot of good bands, go to the Tempe Music Festival, play some Guitar Hero 2 over at our booth, and if I can convince them, we'll even have prizes to give away to people who are involved in some sort of Guitar Hero 2 tournament that we create on the spot. That'll be a good time.
That would be awesome.
You and I, we can jam out against each other.
We could have this tournament, and then you and I can be the final boss of the tournament.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Do you have to wear clothes, though? Like big, like guar uniforms, you know?
All right, let's do it.
All right, I don't have one, but I'm up for it.
I don't have one either. I'm probably just going to put on my helmet and look like a dork. But
all right, so go over to whatever.com to learn about Tempe Music Festival. Yeah, tempemusicfestival.com, and you can get tickets or learn about how much tickets are going to cost. It's Friday night and all day Saturday, like Friday from 5 to midnight, and there's bands and stuff and whatever. That's what it is. And then noon to midnight on Saturday. So I'm going to be there as much as I can be, and it's going to be good times. And you're going to try and join as much as...
I will be there in some capacity.
In some capacity. I'll be determined. Yeah. And I have to mention, too, there's going to be a bar at the Dillard's tent. So it's not open bar. It's not free booze. But at least there's booze there. And it's in public because it's in Tempe, like, I don't know, on the street or something. All right. So moving on. Let's talk about games. We wasted enough time here. I played Flow this week. And I think you tried to talk about Flow at some point.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because I want somebody to fill me in on what the F is going on.
All right, so we all remember how I no longer have a PS3, because it was stolen ruthlessly from my home.
Yeah, so how did you play Flow?
Ah, I now have a PlayStation 3 again.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Not because it was found, it was purchased, like another one was purchased. And, oh boy, just waiting for this one to get stolen. So there's another one in the house, all hooked up with HDMI on the 1080p TV. It's fantastic. And my roommate's like itching to get a game, and he sees the trailer for Flow, and I'm like, dude, Flow's not your game.
He wants Flow?
Yeah, like no matter how cheap Flow is or whatever, like, it's not your game. You're a first-person shooter guy, you're a real-time strategy guy, it's not your game.
Well, what piqued his interest?
It must have been the trailer, because I saw that movie also on the drive, so it had to be that he played. Like, what is this? Just the mystery gets to him. He wants to know. So
interesting.
I then get home. He's talking about Flow. I'm like, oh, dude, did you buy it? It's like, yeah. it's only $8. Like, all right, that's cool, man. Whatever you want. $7 or $8. I don't know if it's $7 or $8. I can't remember. Right. So I then had a poker game. You're aware of this. We have our poker game every couple weeks at my house on Friday. And I was out of the game. And right towards the end there, one of the girls who was also out, the only girl who was there that night, I was like, oh, before you go, I want to show you this game. And it was going to be the first time I played it, too, because I just knew it was on there. Of course, I played the Flash version, you know, that was available on the web before it was ever made into a PS3 game.
As have I.
Yeah, but the Flash version, honestly, it seemed like I had no idea what to do. I didn't. Maybe it's because I wasn't putting enough energy into it to really learn what it was, or maybe it was nowhere nearly as developed as the PS3 version. And I think that's the case.
Well, that was definitely the case. But, I never think that somebody, you know, should, especially a player, should bear the burden of feeling like they have to put in enough to enjoy something. But I digress.
But I mean, that's what this game is, right? It's a mystery. It's just like, you don't, what are you supposed to do?
Yes, this is a mystery. This is a very big mystery.
Clearly, you're supposed to eat things, right? And really, I'm just a collection of shapes. But anyway, so I start playing this game with her two-player. We've got three controllers, by the way. So, we're playing two players. We're kind of figuring out what to do. It took me a good, like, 20 minutes, probably, before I actually understood the game and how you move between depths of this virtual ocean, which is really only implied. Doesn't really look much like an ocean. But really, the bottom line of it is that I was enjoying myself. It was weird. And you can jump in and out of the game as an extra person, a new person, whatever you want.
Right.
And so then her husband was there, and he finished the game. He actually won the tournament. And then he joined us. I was like, oh, you can play too. So all three of us were playing. And I don't really have a whole lot. Like, it's just this weird experience. There's no HUD whatsoever.
Right.
We talk about how lame HUDs are. But your character, you know, you can see all the information you need on the screen. Sort of learn how the game play works. Took me a good 25 minutes. And I just enjoyed it a lot. And I still don't know if there was some sort of competition between the people who were playing.
Right.
It felt like it was, because we were all going, like, we all wanted to eat the whatever they are, the fish or things that you're supposed to eat, right? But there's no score. So there's no real representation of, well, who won once you get to the end of a level, so to speak.
Is there even an end of a level? I mean...
There is. There's very specific endings, because you go from one depth to another to another, and you can go up depths as well, but you go down, and eventually you go so far down that, okay, you're back where you started, and you can choose now to be a different organism. And I call them organisms, again, loosely. They're a collection of geometric objects, but,
right,
or shapes. But yeah, like, you don't even have to beat the boss or the big creature at the end of the level. I think you can just go deeper. I always beat them, so maybe you do have to beat them, and I just didn't realize it. But it felt like you didn't have to.
What do you? I mean, these bosses or whatever. What do you do? You just, because when I played it, it's just, okay, well, you just run into things or you avoid them, and the action was so slow that
there's no avoiding. I mean, there's no required avoidance. I say you can beat up anything there. If it's a creature, you can kill it.
Okay, so there's
some of them are remarkably hard once towards the end of the game.
Okay, so what it seems like you're saying is that there's no penalty for doing things wrong, but what's so hard about anything in the game, if that's true?
Well, it becomes more interesting when you play with multiple people. When you're playing single player, it's really just a question of time. You know, are you going to eat this thing? Are you going to take the time to find this thing to eat? And then you go deeper, and then if you want to beat up the big bad organism, you take the time to do it. And they can attack you back, too, and throw you up a depth. So you have to collect more energy, so to speak, so you can go back down. Anyway, we're out of time. Maybe we'll talk about this later in the show. Next segment, we're going to have Dave from EA to talk about Command & Conquer 3. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And we've got Andrew back there, and we've got a special guest this segment.
Do we have a guest, Andrew? Were we able to get a hold of him on the phone?
We do not.
We didn't get him.
We do not have a special Ara guest.
Ara, you've been dropped. Dave. All right, well, so we're going to continue talking about flow.
Yes, because I have some very important questions to ask
good,
you about
because flow. He was breaking our flow.
Yes.
See?
So
all right.
This would probably not happen in the game.
Flow. Speaking of which, I'll break the flow to remind everybody that uat.edu is where you can go to learn about the University of Advancing Technology, our wonderful sponsor and local university here in Arizona. All right, so I was saying flow.
Right. Okay, I have to interrupt your flow now.
Okay.
To ask you, because you mentioned earlier, you're like, okay, well, I'm playing this game and, you know, it's taking me, and I don't even know if I want to call it a game, but you said, well, I'm having fun, and...
I agree. I'm a little reluctant to call it a game as well.
And my question to you is, what about it is fun? Where did you get your enjoyment from? I mean...
All right, so you remember a couple weeks ago when I was talking about Crackdown and how I found the act of jumping from building to building, just jumping really high,
right,
inherently fun?
Right.
Like, that's an activity which is just fun to me. Like, at some point... You need to be able to break down the gameplay and say, this particular element is fun to me. That's why this game is fun to me. For instance, a lot of people get a kick out of shooting things or people. That's fun.
Right.
A lot of people like shooting games where I actually hold the gun, right? Because that's cool. It's
sure.
Simmy.
And I hate to leave it at just that word itself because everybody throws around that word and it...
And the word it's, fun, you mean?
Yes. Like.
All right. So the thing about the game, though, like... There's a little bit of competition element because you're with multiple people. Now, if you're by yourself, it's much less interesting. And that's true in a lot of scenarios in life, right? But when you're playing with someone else, it's on the same screen, and you're competing for who's going to get the particular thing that you can eat.
Right.
But at the same time, like, there's no real feedback. There's no score. There's nothing to tell you that you won. There's no reward of any kind.
Right.
Even
and
at the end
this
of
is
level.
One of my beefs with the thing. It's just so... kind of just, I don't know, just vague about everything.
And that's why it's weird, right? But there's the music and the cool visuals. And so I'm reluctant to call it a game because there is no feedback mechanism. There's no competition.
Well, there's no goal, in fact, is there?
Well, to play through it and to experience it. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of people you know, they look at art or they look at, you know, a movie, right? And is there a goal? No, it's to experience whatever that story is. Now, in this case, not a whole lot of story because, you know, they don't develop a story. You just sort of play it. And so it's got to be inherently interesting to you. And if it's not, then great. You don't play it. And if it is, if you get a kick out of the music and the literal flow of your character through the game, then that's interesting. And maybe that's worth the $8 to people. I wish that there was some sort of element in it to create like a competition and reward system. But if they did that by creating some sort of numerical feedback or something,
right,
it would break the flow.
See, I think that's total BS, but that's an 8-hour discussion and probably best for holding off until later on.
Yeah, because in our headphones, we were warned that we do now. We've gotten... Andrew, are you paying attention to me? All right. And he doesn't even look. He doesn't look at... He just looked down at the board. He's got a million buttons. All right, so we finished talking about flow, I think.
Oh, we'll never finish talking
about
flow.
All right, so
but we can table that for a while.
Let's bring on my buddy Dave Silverman, product manager for EA's Command & Conquer 3. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Wonderful, thank you. Say hi to Ara.
Hey, Ara.
Hey, how's it going, David?
Doing well. I'm doing well.
So this game comes out tomorrow, and I said it's... Andrew. Andrew over there, too. I think Dave says hello to you through me.
Hey, Andrew.
there it is. All right, so does it have a subtitle? Do I need to know that it's Command & Conquer 3 sub something?
It's Command & Conquer 3 Tiberian Wars.
Tiberian Wars. What was the second one called?
Was it Tiberian Sun?
Tiberian Sun.
Yes!
Okay. I knew there was Tiberian in it, and I thought, are we reusing a title?
Yeah, see, I know nothing about this series, so I'm very excited that I knew the answer to that.
Ara's just a listener for this part of the segment.
What do you mean you know nothing about it, Ara? Come on, you guys run a video game podcast / radio show. How can you not know anything about, like, the biggest RTS game?
It's because I'm a big dork, and I do things like play games that nobody's heard of.
Yeah. Ara's one of those guys who's like, you know what, I live in a cave. So I asked him today, I said, hey, I've got some interesting news, perhaps about an actress who was involved in Battlestar Galactica, the show that's incredibly popular on the Sci-Fi Channel, which is, you know, a lot of our listeners are probably going to be sci-fi watchers. And he's like, never seen it. No idea. And I said, of course you didn't, because you live in a cave. And that's fine, because we love him anyway.
A rather expansive cave, I might add.
It is a big cave. All right, so anyway, I want to ask about this game. And I think I've told you about this, Dave, and our listeners actually have heard this. My roommate, John, is a big RTS game player. Not so much, but he is. And he's been very excited about this game pretty much since he heard about it, which was sometime last year, probably about a year ago when it was officially announced. And so first, I just want you to tell me what makes the third one especially good. And it does come out tomorrow, right?
It shipped today, so it should be in stores in most places tomorrow. So like your main specialty stores, like your GameStops and EBs and Best Buys, they all overnight ship, so they should get it tomorrow. For some of the other stores, you know, like Walmart and whatnot, they tend to do two-day shipping, so they'll get it on Wednesday.
Okay, so you guys basically, if you're listening to the show, you can get it tomorrow without an issue. Hopefully it won't be one of those you had to pre-order, and I don't think so. EA doesn't run that game, man.
We make sure that everyone gets, you know,
exactly.
Everyone who wants a copy should be able to get one. The only thing that may be hard is the Kane editions, which are our special collector's edition, because we only made a certain amount of those. So
I didn't even realize you guys had a special edition. Okay, so run out tomorrow and get the
good one. Way to do some research.
Hey, listen, I talked to you and you're like, hey, I said you should come on the show and talk about this because I didn't even realize it was coming out tomorrow. That's how in tune I am. But it is coming out tomorrow, and the King Edition is going to be available probably only, you know, for the next week or so, and hopefully tomorrow if you guys do well enough. But what has made people who are fans of this series so excited about the third one? Because I know there were a bunch in the series that didn't really knock people's socks off, but the third one everyone's been really excited about.
I think that the cool thing is that the Command & Conquer franchise has been around for a while. I mean, this is the 13th year that you're seeing a Command & Conquer game. Now, we haven't been releasing games for 13 years, you know, every year, and that's, I think, what makes this one so special. So, if you look back, it's actually been 8 years since the last Tiberium-based Command & Conquer game, and it's been, you know, 5 years since the last CNC game. So, really, I mean, it's been a long time, and it's kind of interesting that this is the game to bring the franchise back. You know, for a while there, you know, in 1999, people were playing Tiberian Sun, and you know, they got to see Kane and whatnot, and now it's kind of, you know, it's a whole new generation gets to experience this, and then all the old favorites get to come in and experience it too. I mean, obviously, you know, the graphics are, you know, incredibly, you know, I mean, they're way better than before. I mean, you know, it's all 3D now, whereas before they're nice little 2D sprites. You know, a lot of new gameplay innovations. There's a new third faction now that people can check out, which is the Skrin, which you kind of saw a little hint of them back in the second Command & Conquer game. You found the spaceship that landed on the planet. So really, I mean, it's tying back into this, you know, really great legacy. It's bringing together some new gameplay features. We have a whole new online feature set.
Oh my god. Dave, I want you to stay on the line because I have a lot more questions about this game. Andrew's queuing us up early. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes to talk more about Command & Conquer 3.
This is Billy D. Williams from Command & Conquer 3, and you're listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
That's right, you are listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
Over there, we've got Andrew running the show, and on the line, as promised, we've got my friend David Silverman, also the product manager for Command & Conquer 3, EA's new RTS game.
And Billy D. Williams!
And Billy D. Williams was on the show.
Billy D. Williams, guest host.
That was, I mean, that's not just Command & Conquer 3, that's an entire lifetime of entertaining the folks. Wasn't he Lando?
He was Lando.
He was Lando, dude. We got someone from Star Wars talking about Chatterbox.
Yes, unfortunately, he can only say the same line repeatedly.
Well, yeah,
he's got this exotic disorder.
Tonight. He is an amazing guest, but all right. I got to thank you for that, by the way, Dave. So,
of course, yeah.
So we were talking about Command & Conquer 3. You had a little bit more to tell me before I run into some questions about it, though.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was just gonna say that. I mean, I think the reason why the fans and everyone's getting really excited about this game is, you know, first of all, the big legacy is there. It's been a while since we've come out with a Command & Conquer game, and then I think it's also the fact that, you know, Command & Conquer historically has always been known to be one of these real-time strategy games with a really in-depth single-player campaign. And you don't really see that in a lot of RTS games today. Like, you look at some of the games out now, and they all kind of be, you know, very multiplayer-focused with some tacked-on single-player as well. But with CNC 3 especially, you know, we really pull out all the stops. I mean, there's, you know, over 38 missions, and, you know, we have these live-action cinematics. So, like, Billy D. Williams, for instance, he's in the game, and every time you finish a mission in the single player campaign, you'll see one of these, you know, there's 90 minutes of live action, high def, you know, movies that'll play. So you got your Billy D. Williams, you got your Josh Holloway's, you know, Sawyer from Lost, you got your Battlestar Galactica people, Trisha Helfer, Grace Park, Michael Ironside, you know, really, it's just got a really great cast. And of course, you know, the original Joe Kukan, you know, guy who played Kane, he's come back for a third time around. So I think that just really kind of resonates well with fans and gets them really fired up about this game. Aside from the fact that, you know, it's just awesome. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, that, like I was saying, there's a lot of people who've been excited about Command & Conquer 3 for the past year when it has been announced, even after they were kind of disappointed by previous Command & Conquer efforts. And you guys got back to what made the game good. So I was happy to see that, and I'm especially happy to see people who are fans of the series being excited about it again.
Which is Billy D. Williams. That's what makes the game good.
I don't know if Billy D. makes the game, but it's certainly a good addition.
That's what you have to go back to.
but we've got some people in the chat room, too, talking about it, and they were mentioning something called Battlecast. Are you familiar with this part of the game?
Yeah, absolutely. So what Battlecast is the feature that we've kind of held to the end of the launch to really use as kind of our icing on the cake. And basically, we want to set out to make watching a real-time strategy game just as fun as it is to play. So really looking at what ESPN was able to do with poker, right? Nobody thought you could put poker on TV and make it fun for people to watch. And, you know, they've come out with that way with the card cam and whatnot, and now everyone, you know, World Series of Poker is all, you know, really popular and stuff. So we want to do the same thing, and our answer to that is what we call Battlecast. So it's the ability for players to do match broadcast in a very unique way. So as you play Command & Conquer 3 Tiberian Wars, you put the game in, you'll go to start an online match. You can go up on the website, commandandconquer.com, and you can schedule your matches there. So let's say I want to play you, Alon, you know, Friday night at 8 p.m. So I can set up that match, ahead of time and then say, you know what, let's have Aura be our commentator. So we can, you know, check a box, Aura gets an email, he decides, yeah, I wanna be the commentator.
Yeah, that
and
sounds like
8
fun.
O'clock, it's cool, and it's like, while we're playing, so me and Alon, and we can time delay if we want, so if we're afraid that, you know, Alon, he's a cheater, so I'm worried that he's gonna have a separate computer and watch my screen, so we can time delay the match and whatnot, and as we're playing, Aura, you get to give kind of live play-by-play commentary, and we've even given you Telestrator technology. So you can be like John Madden and like circle things and draw diagrams and show where stuff's going on. So it's really making it very exciting and making it, you know, both an educational tool and also a good kind of thing for the community to really be like, you know, hey, I want to be, you know, the Chris Berman of Command & Conquer 3.
Okay, so hold on. So can you, with this tele-whatever technology, can you actually like screw up the other player by drawing all over their characters?
No.
So on my screen, me as a player,
you don't see
I won't
it.
Be able to see anything.
Oh, okay.
But if I go in to watch a game...
Well, that's kind of disappointing, but, you know, I guess it's okay.
Well, I don't think people really want that, but, you know.
No, I want that!
Ari's just messing with you. No, this is actually, like, as an MC, so to speak, I actually have a big smirk on my face, because that sounds... not gameplay-wise, but it sounds really interesting, because I'd like to, like, MC one of these events.
Yeah.
I want someone to contact us to be the... their commentators for their game would be like, and tonight, Sunday, 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 the Beast from the East, Chatterbox. That'd be a lot of fun.
No, totally. I mean, like, you know, you guys do your little trivia show, or now you can have your own special Battlecast matches where, you know, all your fans can play Command & Conquer 3 online, and then they can choose to have Alon be their commentator.
It's funny you should bring that up. We're actually going to talk about our PAX plans where we will be doing a trivia show. Later today.
There you go.
I want to thank Etrigan, by the way, for reminding me to talk about Paddlecast, because completely slipped my mind. But that is an interesting new feature, but that's on top of all the other stuff you're added. Like, I assume there's no vehicles in the game this year as well. Or this
oh,
year
yeah, of course. Version. I mean, we actually did a really good job. I mean, the dev guys really, you know, Jason Bender, who's our lead designer, and Greg Black, who's our multiplayer designer, really did a phenomenal job of kind of taking the classic units from old Command & Conquer games, revving those up, like the Mammoth Tank and the Orca and the Stealth Tanks, but then also kind of adding some cool new units as well so that everything is fresh and new. So you have like the Avatar, you know, walkers, which are these big kind of cool robotic mech-like things.
I was going to ask if they're mechs.
So each side gets their own kind of unique walker. So it's kind of a mech equivalent. And the Avatar is Nod's mech. Cool thing there is you can actually rip apart your own units and use those. So for instance, the Avatar, if you're next to a flame tank, you can kind of cannibalize the flame tank, and the Avatar rips off the flamethrower part, sticks it on itself, and all of a sudden you got a big Avatar mech with a flamethrower.
All right, that sounds.
Or you can do that with like a stealth tank, and now he's stealth as well. So it kind of adds on a neat little dynamics to it.
Is this like something where you're actually directly controlling one of the characters in the game?
Well, I mean, you know, so it's a real time strategy game, and you know, you can control any unit, right?
Right. No, but
so
I mean, it just sounded like you were kind of like alluding to actually being in direct control of something instead of like, you know, the indirect format, which is, you know, you tell them what to do and they do it. You know what I mean?
So, right. So I mean, are you actually flying down in the first person and controlling the Avatar with your, you know, your dual analog sticks or whatever? No, you're not. But, you know, you definitely have more of a sense of control you can do on each of the units that's, you know, more than your typical, you know, I'm just going to click move here.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like the hero theme in the Warcraft 3 games, where there was one character that sort of stood out above the rest.
Yeah, but in CNC 3, the difference there is that more of your characters are like that. It's not like you have a handful of three guys who can do cool stuff. It's every unit really has their own kind of special, unique ability that you can use.
All right. Well, I definitely want to see this game, and you can also get the demo already, right?
And I want to
demo. The demo's all over the place. You can go on our website, commandandconquer.com, and find a big link to the demo there, or you can go on, you know, some of your favorite, you know, file sharing places and find it there as well.
All right. So I want everybody to go get the demo, find out how good the game is, and then tomorrow you can buy it. And you said there's also the King Edition, right?
The Kane Edition.
Kane Edition, excuse me. How does that stand out from the Standard Edition?
So it's got a big Kane Edition lettering on the front of, but, you know, aside from that, it's got a special packaging, so really focusing on Kane, who's the main villain. So it's got a special O card, so a little sleeve that slides over the game box. It's numbered, so it's numbered out of 100,000 that we're releasing in North America. And you actually get a lot of cool stuff with the Kane Edition. So you get a special version of the game, for starters, that has a couple new multiplayer and skirmish maps in there that you can only get in the Kane Edition. There's some cool, each, you get special elite skins for some of your units for the three different factions, your GDI, Nod, and Skryn. And then you get the special bonus DVD, which has a lot of cool extras, like some deleted scenes, some outtakes and bloopers. It's got a nice 20-minute documentary on how we made the cinematics, so you get to see kind of interviews with, you know, your Josh Holloways and your, you know, Jennifer Morrison and all the cast in the game. So it's actually, it's pretty compelling. Like, I think the hope the fans really, really enjoy it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, telling us about it. I'm sure that this is going to be another very successful game. I know that people have been waiting for it for a very long time. So everybody, keep an eye out for it this week, and if not this week, whenever you get your allowance, whatever money you need to buy Command & Conquer 3. Thank you very much, Dave, for coming on the show. I really appreciate
it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
Dave. I look for you on Battlecast.
Oh.
I look forward to drawing on everyone's screens.
Sunday. Thanks, Dave. All right, so
don't forget,
by the way, it's got Billy Dee Williams in it.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, you know, if there's... They should just make that guy like the spokesperson.
Yeah, I say next week we have an interview with Billy Dee Williams.
I think, Billy, if you're listening, we'd like to have you for an interview.
No, we are going to do it. It's in the bag.
Okay. Thank you, Billy, for accepting our offer of an interview.
we look forward to speaking with him on the show, just like tonight. All right. So I said that we were going to talk about PAX, too. Dave was nice enough to bring up the trivia show that I might do.
Yes.
This was something I did last year. At PAX before you were with the show, or
before I was firmly ensconced in the ways of the show.
Before you were ensconced in the Chatterbox video game radio show. So I went over to the Seattle area in Bellevue, did the Chatterbox Treasure Box game show, where got a whole bunch of prizes, got three people to go up on stage. Now the problem is, last year, just like the year previous,
no Billy Dee Williams.
Well, no Billy Dee Williams.
I'm going to stop that eventually.
But you know, we had people, not to say that they weren't full of effort and pizzazz and spunk.
Yeah.
But the players that we had were perhaps weak in terms of their trivia knowledge, which made for I don't even want to say it wasn't an uninteresting show, because having the audience totally rag on them for not knowing and having the audience know all the answers was a lot of fun. But I think this year we're going to do it differently. We're 5 years and 5 months, not 5 years, 5 months in advance of when the Penny Arcade Expo happens. People in our chat room are already talking about going to PAX. I know Bacon Sandwich plans on going, and there's a lot of text here, so I'm sure. I hope everybody's going who's in the chat, which, by the way, you can join at chatterboxgameshow.com. But I'm definitely going to be there. My brother might even attend. And I might even attend. Oh, you'll definitely be there. And I'm planning on getting people ahead of time, and we're going to find a way to determine who's going to be a part of it. We're going to have one person representing Chatterbox Video Game Radio at Penny Arcade Expo.
Yes, you know what we should do? We should do Are You Smarter Than Ara Sharinian?
You mean like the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader show?
Yeah, but me instead of a fifth grader.
We'll get Jeff Foxworthy to host that version. Maybe we'll have one show where we decide who's going to be the Chatterbox representative, but then we're also going to get representatives from other large video game media outlets. And I don't want to mention them on the show yet, because we haven't actually solidified who it's going to be. But you've heard me talk about them in the past, I hope.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to get someone. So it's going to be like teams, basically. We're going to have someone representing Chatterbox.
This is cool.
Who's hopefully going to keep the trophy at home. And then we're going to have someone from another outlet that I won't mention just yet. I'm gonna try and get them to pick their representative, right? And then a third one. So we'll have three people on stage, all representing their own teams. And then, as always, Chatterbox Treasure Box includes the audience, a lot of audience participation. And so we're gonna seat them in various sections. This part might actually be hard to pull off, but here's what I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning a group of people all ensconced in certain sections of the auditorium. And so you'll have the Chatterbox in one area, and the other media outlet in another area, and the other in the third. And so they can sort of like have their lifelines and go to their team if they need to. And then whoever answers the team pulls one of the prizes away from the person on stage, but they would have won, goes to their team member
in the audience.
So you definitely want to be at PAX, because you can win tons of prizes, even if you're not on stage. So there's another thing I'm going to be doing at PAX. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes as soon as we get back. And we might even talk about some other stuff too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Everybody, this is Chatterbox Video Game Show.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio here with
Video
Alon.
Game Radio.
And Ara, the music threw us off there for a bit.
Yeah, I was like, I had a little syncing issue there.
All right, we are back to talk about politics. You know, people died.
Yes, people died.
Now, okay, so we do a video game radio show. Before we continue, I got to let everybody know about UAT.edu. I've mentioned it earlier in the show, University of Advancing Technology. I went to school there, and you might want to as well. And we were talking about PAX right before the break, and I was saying I'm planning something bigger and better and just way cooler for this year's Chatterbox Treasure Box, which hopefully, again, will be, you know, a big part of the Penny Arcade Expo on stage, giving away tons of prizes, and we're going to separate it so people get to represent the team that they want to represent, make them feel a little bit more like they're part of the show and that they're doing something for their team. And so we're going to release more information as it is officially obtained. Having a hard time talking tonight, fourth segment. So releasing more information about that as we get closer to August. But there's also something else I'm going to be doing there, which we're definitely not ready to talk about. But I can point out that I'm no web developer. I'm not a king of PHP. I'm not a queen of the XHTML. But I will need to run some surveys for this other event that we're doing. Surveys from a lot of listeners and a lot of visitors to the website. So if anybody listening knows anything about creating surveys and some system that can collate all the data from said surveys, I'd really appreciate your getting in contact with me, because it'll make this PAX event much more possible. So I'm going to be doing at least Chatterbox on stage, I believe a second event, which I really need to get some survey action on for. So please, if you could email me, that'd be fantastic. And this is going to be another team event that we're going to have going on, but not in the same scale. We're not going to have like 300 people all representing their team. It's going to be a little bit smaller than that. The event will be big, but the team representation will be smaller, unless I can figure out another way to spin it.
Well, I'm pretty psyched.
Yes. Whatever. It's going to be your first PAX, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
All right. It's going to be like my third one. It's a really fun time, by the way. And it's in Seattle this year, much bigger than it has been in the past.
Where was it before?
It was in Bellevue.
Bellevue.
But now it's actually at like the Seattle Conference Center or whatever. Go to pennyarcade.com with a hyphen if you want to learn about it. They got a link to PAX on there, so you can learn about it. So anyway, that's the plans. Like I said, we're going to release more information. But in the meantime, we have to figure out who our Chatterbox representation is going to be. It can't be me, unfortunately.
Well, it can't be me?
But no, not you either.
We can write all the questions. So, like, you know, they're about games like Cyveriar and Klonoa 2.
Yeah, we could. But then no one else will have a chance of knowing them. So we're going to figure out a way to find out who the Chatterbox representative will be. Of course, you have to be willing to get your butt out to PAX. But I know many of you are going to, so that'll be awesome. And hopefully we'll just have some other Chatterbox events there, as well as plenty of others, because it's very busy. The whole three-day period. There's concerts at night. You sleep for like 3 hours, and then you're back there doing more stuff. So it's going to be a good time. What else do we have to talk about tonight? We've got a few minutes left.
Well, yeah, we don't have too much time left, but I was searching the internets earlier today, and apparently there's this very controversial interview that happened recently with this Sony UK boss named Rig Maguire, and a couple of the blogs and stuff are reporting this, and he had some really funny quotes.
This probably pertains to the fact that the PS3 was just released this week in Europe, right?
Yes, and it's way more expensive, at least in the UK, than
After you do the conversions, of course, it's like £450 or something, or £400.
It's the equivalent of like $741 there.
Yeah.
So that's insane. So,
and it's missing features.
Yeah, so here's
hardware.
Some fun quotes, right? So Ray Maguire, in this interview with, what's the interview with? Okay, this games industry, said, many people are saying we're now joining the next generation console era, but I believe we've stepped over the current gen to create the real next generation.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that quote.
Yeah, okay, so Ray, like, we're the real next generation now, because I don't want to hear in 3 years that we were actually the fake next generation this whole time, and that now we're going to be in the really real next generation.
All right, that's a little bit bogus. But, I mean, that's marketing lines.
Yeah, but it's like, why does it have to be so transparently Dilbert-esque? You know, I mean, it's just, what is this? Okay, here's another one. I've got more. So games industry asked him, why is it so much more expensive in the UK And really,
that's a good question. It is closer to where they're made.
This is you know, an easy punching bag, very easy target. But he says, if you take what's considered to be the most expensive and the least expensive, consider the U.S. with its massive land and cheap people. Then you look at the U.K., a little island where rent and rates are an absolute premium and the cost of people is a lot more. So I read this. I was like, all right.
So he's saying they're richer so we can bilk them for more money? Or they're willing to spend more?
Well, no, he says that, you know, in the U.S. people are cheap. But, I mean, you know, I was reading between the lines and, you know, everyone, you know, on the internet is laughing about this. And, you know, I just thought, okay, well, you know, maybe he's not really saying anything outrageous or stupid. Maybe he's just doing a really bad job of saying something like the per capita income of the U.K. is higher than the U.S. But I looked that up and actually it's not by a long shot. The U.S. actually has a much greater per capita. You know, gross domestic product. So I don't know what the F he's saying here.
He's basically saying they're willing to spend more money because clearly they do on everything else.
Well, they don't. That's the thing. But they, at least for video games, apparently they are willing to spend more money.
Oh, video games, they've always, like, I remember Street Fighter or something for the Genesis. That when I was in France, I was like 16 in France, and the games were like $85 or $90 a piece for like Sega Genesis games. And this wasn't, the Genesis wasn't new. It had been around for years, right? And they were costing like $85 or $90. But then again, gas was like $5 a gallon, too. So everything is more expensive over there.
Yeah.
Well, not crepes.
Right.
Bread.
But,
they're probably
cheaper. I mean, I guess they're just accustomed to paying more. Here's another good line. So they ask him, now, over there, the exact price, at least in the UK, is £425. So they're like, but £425 seems like an odd number. Did you think about pricing the PS3 at maybe $399 so that it would have a different feel to it psychologically? And what's the answer? He says, no, we did consider £429, but we wanted to get the best for the consumer. So you guys can all thank Ray for that £4 discount. Go buy some beer or something.
That's completely ludicrous because...
That is literally a Dilbert comic strip right there.
They're just making use of the fact that they know they're used to spending more on video games. And it could be £300, and that would be the right price. Like, I'm sure there's VAT or some weird tax that they have to go through that needs to be charged more.
Yeah, I'm not taking that stuff into account.
Well, I'm that's legitimate, okay? If Europe wants to charge more taxes, then I would understand it being a little bit more expensive. But not the leaps and bounds that it is now. They made the system cheaper and then released it for $150 more.
Yeah.
And that's bogus, but it's just in the long string of bogus things that Sony has done. So yay. I mean, we should compare how much the Super Nintendo cost.
As the Brits say, it's bollocks.
Bollocks. Yeah. That's right. We'll be back next week, everybody. Look forward to our interview with Billy Dee Williams and maybe even Trisha Helfer on the show.
I know I will be.
Next week. I'll be preparing for that interview all week, I think. We'll be back next week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.